Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday morning edition of Voice of Believers Church, where we get together and learn how to overcome and win in life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. While we get ready to pray over our tithes and offering, if you need an envelope, just raise your hand and one of these young men will get it to you. If what you have is not what you need, then it's not your harvest, it's your seed. We've learned that. If what we have is not enough for what we need, then it's not our harvest, it's our seed. Right? And see, the law of sowing and reaping is called a law for a reason. It's a godly principle that God explains to us in the Word. And it's also part of the covenant that God made with mankind, with Adam, and all creation. And it's in Genesis 8:22. And it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And so the earth has not ceased. The earth still remains. So that means the good news is that the principle of seed time and harvest, or sowing and reaping, is still active. Isn't that good? And so mankind and creation, we're still subject to it. And whenever we obey the law of God, we need to do it by faith now. It has to be by faith. And the reason we have to use our faith is because of the enemy and the curse. And we depend on the grace of Jesus. Isn't that good? It protects us. And so when we first start out as a Christian, you know, we have to learn this. We have to learn discipline, and we have to learn faith. It takes both. And in the long run, when we learn to follow God's instructions, the blessing comes, it catches up to us, and begins overtaking and pushing away the curse. Amen? And when people disobey God, you know, their actions no longer will have faith because, you know why? Because of the guilty conscience gets in the way and blocks our faith. So thank God what we do is we go to God and we confess and we receive forgiveness. It's a lifestyle. And that gets that guilt out of the way. Praise God. Well, we learn how to do things God's way. So when we learn how to sow according to God's way, when we first start out, we're cautious about it at first, aren't we? Because we're not sure we can really trust him. For example, you know, if you're a single mama and you're working hard to feed your kids, barely making the rent, it seems insane to give 10% as a tithe, as an offering. Isn't that true? It seems that way. I remember when I was a single mama, I made that choice to trust God. And yet, the Bible asked the believer to test him in this. And in fact, in Malachi 3:10, it says, bring the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this, says the Lord. God said that the windows of heaven would be open and there would be so much blessing there wouldn't be enough room to store it. See, it's not often that God says to test me. In fact, nowhere else or any other reason does God give us permission to test him but in this. And you know why? Because he knows us. He knows it takes faith to trust him. And he gives us the reassurance in Proverbs 11:18 that seed sown in righteousness will have a sure reward. And guess what? We're the righteousness of God in Christ. He covers that too, praise God. You know? And so it's in faith and by faith, and we live in faith, which is 2 Corinthians 5:7. Especially in these last days, we are to live by faith. Amen. Isn't God good? Are we ready to pray over it now in faith? Amen. Well, Father God, I just thank you that you covered all the bases, Lord. You covered our mistakes. You covered, as we learn how to live your way instead of the old way, you cover that, Lord. And we just bring our tithes and offerings to you. We present it to you, Lord, knowing you are going to do the multiplication. You are going to do what nothing else can do. You are going to take away that curse, and you're going to put the blessing on it instead. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you are opening up the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing so big we don't even have room to store it. And you rebuke the devourer from touching our stuff and destroying the fruit of our ground. And all the people, all the nations call us blessed because we are blessed because of you. You said, Lord, in Luke 6:38, when we give, it'll be given back. Full measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man bring unto our bosom. And I speak the blessing over each household here. I speak increase in Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen. Amen. You want to do the, oh, young men, could you take up the offering, please, and the tithes? Did you want to do the announcements? Yeah. Okay. Amen. Pastor Lyle.
Praise God. Thank God God never changes. Amen. Tomorrow night, on Monday Night Recovery, we're going to have Monica. She's going to share a teaching on how to get recovered, how to get free from the works of the devil and stay free. And after that, we'll sing three songs to do that. And then the men will stay in here and the women will go back there and share some issues in their lives and pray for one another, you know, lift each other up. Praise God. And then on Wednesday night, we have a special treat. We have Mr. Kaufman from Kaufman Computers between Mount Pleasant and Cookeville. He's coming over on Wednesday night. We're going to hook his computer up to the projector, more than likely. I know he could probably figure it out being a computer man. And he's going to show pictures of Uganda. He goes every October and February to Uganda, and he has these families that he's been ministering to for many years now. And he's been a blessing to them. He'll go over and buy them salt and food and flour and everything they need. He's actually bought 12 acres of land there now. He's taken up an offering for that and got 12 acres of land. And they got water there. They have everything that they need right there. And he's really been a blessing to them. So we'll bring him in. He'll have a slideshow. We'll talk about it. And at the end of it, we'll take up a love offering. And if anybody later on before about September 15 wants to give anything else, they can tell me about it, and I can take it over there to him, to his office over there, because he's got to have it like about the 20th. That'll give me 4 or 5 days to get it over there. And then Sunday morning, Monica's preaching, praise God. So we'll have a treat next Sunday morning. Monica will be preaching. And the Sunday after that, the 13th, will be the Gideons will come in, praise God. The cool thing about the Gideons, we'll hear some cool stories around the world. What the Word of God has done in people's lives around the world. And I love that and how they changed their life. And it's usually a 20, 25-minute message most times, so be quick, go eat. But I enjoy it. Last year, it was so much fun. I enjoyed it. All right. I'm not leaving anything out that I know of. Youth and children can go with Pastor Monica. Hallelujah. We're going to... Okay, thank you, Danielle. Let's see here. We've been talking about the Abrahamic covenant. We have this teaching. Well, I'm losing a lot of my teaching next month because of so many people are coming in, and Monica's teaching, and well, she does it normally, but we have the Gideon. So I think I preach this Sunday, then a Wednesday around the 9th, then my next time is the Sunday the 20th, you know, of September. The big gap then there for me. And so we'll be able to do the third part of Abrahamic covenant today, and then Wednesday the 9th we'll finish up Abrahamic covenant. And you know, the Lord's put it on my heart that we're really going to have to stay focused on this covenant of that God given us in the times that are ahead. You know, we're going to have to focus on the Word of God, trust in him, lean not on your own understandings, but acknowledge him in all your ways and trust in him. Praise God. So let me pray. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word, just speak through me, Lord, words of edification, exhortation, comfort, and encouragement. We thank you, Lord, for giving me illustrations and testimonies to go forth. We thank you, Lord, each and every one of us here will receive wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, revelation, knowledge of the word, including me, each and every one of us. Our eyes are open, hearts open, ears are open to the word. Satan, bind you up. You can't steal the word in Jesus' name. And for reference, foundational scripture on the Abrahamic covenant is in, we're not going to read it, but it's over there in Genesis 17, 1 through 9, where God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, told him, made a covenant with him and his son Isaac, and he would be father of many nations, and how he blessed him. And he spoke the actual blessing on him back in Genesis 12, 2 and 3, where he said he blessed wherever he goes and blessed coming in. You know, he's blessed everywhere. And by chapter 13, you could see it functioning in his life. In verse 2, he was exceedingly rich. He had silver, gold, the blessing. He was blessed to be a blessing, praise God. And that's our part of our covenant. And then we talked about last time how it correlates into the New Testament, and how actually the New Testament covenant through Jesus Christ is better than the old covenant, and how much it joins together, and the blessings that are in our life of promises. For one thing, we talked about is that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have the Word of God at our dispense. What did Abram have? Abraham, he just obeyed. Abram just obeyed God. God told him to leave that country because his father had all those idols and everything he was worshiping, and he got up and left and done what God told him to do. Through obedience, God was able to bless Abram, made him Abraham. So it correlates into our covenant too. All right, God's favor equal earthly blessing. God operates by promise, hallelujah, and that's good news. He operates by promise, and he's not going to lie. He's not like a man to lie or say he's going to do something and not do it. And when you put your faith in there and you pray for it to the Father in Jesus' name and you receive it right then, you got it, and you're walking in that, giving thanks for it, and you got your joy level up because your joy level is holding that shield of faith up. You got to keep that joy level up. Don't let the devil bring you down. You got to, those thoughts come in there, you tell them to go in Jesus' name. You start quoting the word till your joy level gets back up there, praise the Lord. Keep that joy level up. That's how you receive. It keeps that faith going. It's part of patience. Actually, faith and joy is your dynamic duel, and we'll get into that some other time. All right, so God makes a promise, then we believe his promise, and we act on it. We believe and act on it. Then he fulfills his promise. That's how faith works. That's operating by faith, believing God will keep his promise. One of the quickest prayers I've ever had come to pass was when I prayed and believed for a wife and a family and a four-bedroom, two-bath house. I mean, you talk about quick. It was October of 2001. I mean, I started desiring to have a wife, and God's been working on me over the last year and a half of get my life right and straightened out through the Word. I got full of the Word of God, been saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, got my prayer language, speaking in tongues, all those good things that happened to me, all those three different experiences after in salvation and all the things. And here I am. Waiting for the wife, and you know, I didn't know when it was going to come. This is October. By December, I'm sitting on the back seat of First Baptist Church, and Monica walks in. And sure enough, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, "There she is. There she is." I said, "Oh, wow." And there, you know what? The rest is a wonderful, wonderful life, praise God. It's not history, it's a wonderful life. That's what it is. It's joy. It's joy. Joy. So that was a quick answer prayer. And we got married quick, too. I'm telling you what, by May of 2002, we were showing each other affection by the middle of that. We were married in 2 or 3 weeks. We had to get married, praise God. what's the Bible say about lust and you'll burn in hell? So we got married quick, praise the Lord. All right. Abraham's faith was empowered as he praised and worshiped God. Like I said, faith and joy are the dynamic duel. That joy holds your faith shield up, praise God. It's right there with patience. Don't waver at the natural circumstance. Don't waver at your inability. We live in the supernatural. Well, Abram got that promise at 75. You know, he's getting really old. And here is Sarah. Her womb is barren. It's dead. And she's 10 years younger. And by the time that actually did not come to fruition until he was 100 years old. When God at 99 come down and showed him the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky, that your your descendants will multiply like these. There'll be so many of them. And he got a revelation knowledge of it. And he put his faith into action. His joy was up. And he was praising God. The Bible said he praised God. That joy was up. And he received 1 year later when he was 100 years old, his son Isaac, the son of the promise. And Sarah was 90. And I think one of the translations says, that woman give that old man a son or something like that. I thought it was real cute. She gave him a son. The impossible happened. All right, let's look at Hebrews 1:14 in the New King James. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? These ministering spirits are the angel of God. God's angels, praise God. Now look at it in Amplified. I like the Amplified. Same verse. Are not the angels all ministering spirits, servants, sent out in the service of God for the assistance? I like that. The angels are there for your assistance, praise God, of those who inherit salvation. And they're here for you. Not only before you were saved, they're here for you to be a blessing for you. What are they doing? They're protecting, they're managers, they're conducting, they disperse, they provide, they enforce, directing, control. They're all set by God, his angels, to do his will. In fact, they're undercover. You can't see them, you know. Can't see them. Unless God opens your eyes up to it. And Jake, my younger son, he had it happen to him when he was like 7 or 8 years old. He was at his mother's house, and he said he was in his bedroom doing something. I don't know if he's studying or what. And all of a sudden, he seen an angel. He said it looked like Mr. Clean, that big old guy on the TV commercial, Mr. Clean, big old buffed up, big old muscled up, white, shining guy, that bald head, kind of like that. That's all he could say. That's what he looked like to him. So he had actual... He could actually see him. You know, it's the CIA. Now, the Covenant Enforcing Agents. They are your Covenant Enforcing Agents. Now, the spelling is not great, but, you know, oh well. CIA, it's Covenant Enforcing Agents. They are enforcing God's covenant with us. We're no longer Gentiles. We're covenant people. Praise God. Aren't you glad you got a covenant with God? Hallelujah. Look over at Psalms 103:20. Psalms 103:20. Psalms 103:20. Bless the Lord. This is New King James. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding to the voice of his word. They're heeding to the voice of God's word. So when you're speaking God's word instead of your problem, guess what they're doing? They're enacting. They are going out and doing what you called them to do because you're saying God's word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. They're doing God's pleasure. I'm going to read that in Amplified. I like it in Amplified too. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord. All you his hosts, you his ministers who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of dominion. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise. Hold on, I missed that, didn't I? Start that over. All right, let's do it this way. Start verse 20 again. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So what are they tuned into? What are the angels tuned into? His word. That's what they're listening for. The angels are listening for his word. Jesus done the same thing. He never did anything except for what his Father said, and then he would do it. And sometimes, I mean, this is not this teaching, but sometimes there's times that I think I need to slow down before it says, pray for me or pray for this, and back off and turn inward to the Holy Spirit and see what he says and how he wants to pray it and what he wants to say. You might want to say the scripture and see the miracle happen, because that's what Jesus did. He never said or prayed or done anything without first hearing from the Father. He turned into the Spirit and listened to the Father. All right, verse 21, bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, all you hosts, you his ministers who do his pleasure. So we have an army of God to protect us and watch over us. And what? They're doing what God told them to do. They're doing what the word says. When you say it, they're out doing it, praise God. You know, they're out doing it. They're out there bringing that stuff to you that you believe for. They're out there protecting you and your family, your children. They're all there for you. All right. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Yep, those angels, the angels of God, they enforce this covenant. You got to remember this. Satan is a legalist. You know, God runs by grace and mercy, but Satan's a legalist. He's trying to enforce every ungodly word that a person says. He's trying to force it. That's why I seen something. And folks, don't get into this. I seen it on Facebook. It was last night this morning. And I was like, man, they got these things on Facebook. It's almost like spiritual reading of like tarot cards or palm reading. You go in there and fill out your stuff about your name, who you are. It'll tell you when you're going to die, the date, and everything. I seen one that's 2033. This is a young boy. It's like 14 or 15. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. You know, so you got don't get into that kind of stuff. It's almost like, you know, that kind of thing. You don't want to start predicting your own death. I don't know. Who wants to die at 30 years old? So be careful of those things. See, Satan's a legalistic. God's not a legalistic. See, people think God's the legalistic. No, Satan's a legalistic. The reason God put it in there so he could take care of you because Satan is a legalistic. If you say the wrong thing, or do the wrong thing, do this, that, then he's coming in to bring what? Kill, steal, and destroy. And so God's got to do something. He's trying to get to you and me the blessing. All right, Revelation 5:11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels. This is amplified, yes. Many angels on every side of the throne, and of the living creatures and elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin. And they number 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. Now, I would say that's a lot of angels. And the good news is someone has already done the mathematics for me. I do not have to try to add that up and figure that out. It was done, and the best that they could figure out, that come up to about 100 trillion angels. 100 trillion angels at God's, you know, God's angels, praise God. Now, I think that's just enough to get the job done, don't you think? I mean, if they've been here all this time, God's watching them. He knows what was going to happen since the foundation of the earth. You know, I've done this teaching that Jesus had, from the foundation of the earth, has already set in motion that all these victories for us are healing, our prosperity, our blessing. It's already been done at the cross. He agreed to do it at the foundation of the earth. It's been done, and all we got to do is believe and receive it. And now all these angels, 100 trillion angels to do those things that we need done, to touch our children, to go get that stuff that we need, to get that job, to bless us, to watch over us. You pray for a loved one. They're in there flipping the channel over to a channel that's a Christian channel, you know, when they get in your children, whatever, getting a hotel or something like that. It's ready for them or something like that. Just the different things that God can do to get his covenant done. You know, that's what these angels are doing. To do what mom and dad been praying for the children or for their husband and wife. They've been standing and believing and confessing for. The angels are out there helping that prayer and those confessions, praise God. It's for everything. It's for you to have a blessed life across your whole life. All right? Let's say if 5 billion people would get saved. They say there's about 7 billion people right now. And I've heard this, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard this. They say right now with 7 billion people, from the beginning of time to right here recently, there's that many people. That's how many people there have been. But they say right now there's 7 billion people here on earth. There's that many people on the earth. Let's say 5 billion would get saved. You know what? That still leaves 20,000 angels for each one of us. That's praise God, 20,000 angels. Hallelujah. I mean, and there's a lot more angels than there are demons. God's angels protecting us, watching over us. But the thing is, the angels are not distributed evenly because it depends on what you're saying, what you're doing. We don't want to tie the hands of the angels by what we're saying and what we're doing. We don't want to loose the demons to kill, steal, and destroy by what we're saying and doing. We want to continue in the Word of God and keep the Word in front of us and keep confessing the Word. I mean, you could be meditating the Word, confessing the word, doing the word, and God's angels have to enforce all that you're doing. And it may take 100,000 angels to do your job, whatever you're believing for, your dream, what dream God's given you. Because, you know, you each one of us should have a dream, what we're believing for in our life. God's given us visions. We ought to have a vision to be a blessing in this life, to not only for ourselves, but those around us and the people. So I've learned that, you know, really being lazy and you know, not doing my job is not of me. I don't like that. I like to be doing the Word of God. I love the Word of God, and I'm chasing after Jesus. Just like I did back in 2000, I'm chasing after him just as hard or harder now, praise God. And that's just a testimony of Jesus in his Word and the Word of faith, trusting on him. All right, let's look over at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 in the New King James. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things that being which do not exist as they did, who contrary to hope, and hope believed, so that he become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sakes alone. So this was not just for Abraham that it would be imputed to him, but also for us. Like I said, it correlates into the New Testament. It's for us, too. That's why he's called the Father of Faith. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification, praise God. So God has enabled us to be like him. We're made in his image and likeness. We're able to speak his word and confess his word and trust in him and call those things that be not as though they were. And believe for those things that we need. He's enabled us. He's given these promises. And these, they're yes and amen. And the amazing thing was Abraham. If Abraham can do it, surely we can. Because we have all these tools and all these weapons like never before. We've found out that we have at our dispensal where he didn't have them. So we can do it. We can, through the Word of God, have that faith and believe. And Abraham, he didn't give up. He didn't quit. He trusted God, and his dream, his promise came to pass. So we will too. Okay, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith. Inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith. Like I said earlier, I see a lot of people losing their joy, and that really hurts their faith walk. So stay in joy. Stay in joy while you're believing and trusting God. How did Abraham believe? By believing, even though in the natural it was impossible. He believed the word. He trusted what God said. Even now, it looked impossible. Look at verse 22. We just was there. Verse 20. And being fully convinced. This man was fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He was fully convinced what God promised he was able to perform. And I'm convinced because his word that will, just like he said, will happen in my life. I mean, yesterday I was really spending time with God and got pumped up and got praise and worship and quiet time and got excited and got my joy going. And I'm so ready to see what God's going to do. And just a hunger, an anticipation of God's blessing in each and every one of our lives. We got to keep it up. Look over 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. This is the King James. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able. Let's say it. And God is able to make all grace abound towards us, that you, or ye, having, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So you're going to have plenty for every good work. God will make sure you have plenty in your bank account. If you're wanting to be a blessing, God will make sure it's there for you. That's what it said. As written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, and that's God working in our behalf, both ministers bread for your food. There's where God, he's ministering bread for our food. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. God is multiplying our seed sown and the increase of our fruits of our righteousness. So he's multiplying the seed sown. Being enriched, verse 11 says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. There's part of that joy, being thankful. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. There's that thanksgiving again. There's that joy again. Praise the Lord. I mean, giving God thanksgiving. But did you see in verse 12 where he said, and this will knock the socks off of some of them people that just get mad at, you know, thinking God wants everybody poor, all Christians poor. Verse 12 said, he, for the administration of this service, not only supplies the wants of the saints, he supplies our wants, not just our needs. It says it right there. It says, he supplies the wants of the saints. And, you know, I can share a testimony, and it probably makes some people mad how God has blessed me with, you know, different things, like a gun and things like that. But God said it right there. He even supplies those wants. You know, some people get mad at other people that are preaching about God's blessing in his word and the prosperity in God's word. But, you know, it's in here. It is part of his word. And they get angry about it. But, hey, you know what? If you really go look in those people's lives that are blessing like that, or being blessed like that, they are a blessing to so many other people. I mean, they're giving like wild. I want to know for those people that are criticizing other people for what God has done in their life, what have you done? You know, what has that person done? How many people have they saved? How many people, by spreading the gospel, the good news, and being a blessing and giving food and water, and just because that person is living nice and has a nice life, you know, what has that person done if they're going to sit there and judge them? I mean, I expect to get that persecution from the media, but not from other Christians. I mean, you know, shouldn't be getting it from other Christians. We ought to be all walking in love. In fact, that's one of the biggest hindrance to the body of Christ is other Christians' dogmatic just determination to correct one another and to get mad at things. Instead of just studying the word for themselves and finding out what the word says. All right? God is able to supply our every want. You don't have to look at the government. You don't have to look to supply your needs or your salary. You can look towards God. I live off my giving, praise God. I live off my giving. Don't try to figure it out. Just trust God's word. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. This is New King James. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You know, that touched me when I was reading that yesterday. I was studying for this. And, you know, I've heard it so many times, and I'm like, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and I know that's what you're supposed to do. And don't lean on your wisdom, your intellect of natural human thinking. But acknowledge him in all your ways. Really just jumped out at me. And he should direct your path. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Putting him first. In every little thing. See, God wants to be part of every piece of your life. I'm really seeing that in when I was reading that yesterday. He wants you to acknowledge him in all your ways, every piece of your life. It don't matter what it is. You know, your work, your anywhere, any little area of your life, your children, anything. If you have a thought about it that you or I wouldn't call it a concern. Well, he wants you to pray and believe him, in him to fix that or to help that situation. He wants to be in every part of your life. I do believe it. After seeing that, acknowledge him in all you, acknowledge him in all your ways. And I was like, wow, he wants us to, he wants to be part of every piece of our life. And I'll say it again, human understanding is the faith killer. Who was that old guy? Okay, it's Lee Strobel. He was the editor for Chicago Tribune. Very smart man, very intellectual human being. I've watched the DVD on it. In fact, I've shown it at jail. And I forgot to tell everybody, this past Sunday night, had four guys get saved, asked Jesus in heart, got filled with the Holy Spirit this past Sunday night, and got to baptize one of them on Thursday night about 8 o'clock. I went back up there. That was Sunday night. Four guys got saved, and one guy got baptized. So I thought I'd share that. Just come to my mind. The Lord just brought me a remembrance of it. All right, Lee Strobel, because I've showed his that video at jail before, he was smart. He was a intellectual human, worldly smart. And he was a good editor. And his wife had got saved. And he's like, oh, no. You know, oh, no. His wife got saved. What's he going to do? She's starting to go to church. And he's getting frustrated because she's going. It seems like she's in love with God or Jesus more than him. She's wanting to go to church. Why don't she want to stay here with me? And she's going to church on Sunday morning and Wednesday. But still, you know how the devil is. And he's getting him frustrated and angry. And he was getting mad. He got to the point where he's kicking the couch. And he never hit her, the boy, the daughter and son. But he got angry. He hit the wall or whatever. But he was getting frustrated by this. And so he said, I'm going to set myself. He said, I'm going to find out this truth. I'm going to prove it's wrong. So he went on a 2-year journey to prove. He went to, and so he's part of his Chicago Tribune documentary. He went to talk to professors, Israel, rabbis, and he looked through all of it. What he finally found out, it would take more faith to be an atheist than it would to be a Christian. So he got saved and got Jesus in heart because his final conclusion was it would take more faith to be an atheist because all the signs and everything that's here and all the Word of God, just like he found out from Harvard, in order to establish any fact in history, it takes two or more witnesses. Harvard University, two or more witnesses, and it's an established fact in history. Well, over 500 people, the Bible says, that seen Jesus after his resurrection. And see, this is, the Bible says in the end of John that not all the books, you know, if everything was written down what Jesus did, there's not enough books in the world to contain what he did in those 3.5 years. There's other Jewish and other books on what Jesus and what happened in those times. You know, like, you don't read in there where John, that wrote Big John, Little John, 1, 2, and 3 in Revelation by the Spirit of God, how he's on the reason he went to the island of Patmos, because they were persecuting him, and they were boiling him in water, and they could kill the guy because he stayed in love. All these history documents and testimonies are in different books about things like that. And he studied all this. He got saved, old Lee Strobel, and started going to church and living a blessed life, you know. It was amazing. God took a man that used to be leaning on his own understanding, the worldly understanding, and changed him, praise God. He said it took more faith to be an atheist than it did a Christian. All right. Deuteronomy 8:18. Hallelujah. God is good. Yes, he is. Deuteronomy 8:18, this is the New King James. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to his fathers, as it is this day. Yes, God needs our faith and trust to establish his covenant on the earth. God's will is to bless you. He operates by promise. He gives his word. To bless you, and that promise has to be believed and trusted. That's faith, like I said before. You believe this covenant. You walk in this covenant. Your covenant people, there's people with, you look at the businesses. I'll go with the businesses first. Look at them. Look at, we talked about with the bakers there, with AdvoCare being a Christian company. You look at Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby and the Christian companies that had gotten a vision from God. And look what God is doing through them, being a light to the world, praise God. She's definitely in the United States. And they're getting persecuted like Chick-fil-A. Denver's fighting against them, and I think Boston, Massachusetts, trying to keep them from putting their Chick-fil-A stores there, the mayor and stuff. They're having to stand in faith and trust God. But you know what? They kept the covenant. Like it said right there in Deuteronomy 8:18, they realize it's God that's given this covenant, that's blessed them to give them this wealth, to establish his covenant on the earth, to be that blessing to his family, to his people, praise God. And then there's the ministries like Reinhard Bonnke, a German man that way back in the 60s received a call of God to go evangelize to this country of Africa. And I'm talking about evangelize. I'm talking about on a major scale. He was there. He's over 70 million Africans have been saved through his ministry, praise God. 70 million. That's why this church is part of that. This church tithes 10%, just like you tithe 10%. This church tithes 10% to certain ministries, and that's one of them it ties to, because I want to be part of that, praise God. And he was building that through, God gave him 19 18-wheelers. He had a 35,000 or 40,000 seat tent that he carried on them 19 18-wheelers around Africa to the different nations God led him to, and they took so many days to put it up, him and his staff, and they preach the gospel out of that. Preach the gospel. See, the things God was giving him wealth to, giving the power to obtain wealth, to be that blessing, to go do God's will. And it was all over his life. He was blessed. He's prosperous. His family's blessed. And it's to the point now that he couldn't even use the tents. I think he'd give that to another ministry. And now he's just doing open air, because some of the meetings, some three-day meetings, there's 2 or 3 million people showing up. In that one meeting, they said over 1 million people had gotten saved in one meeting in Africa. We're talking, that's a bunch of people in one meeting, 3 days. In fact, they had decision cards and everything to you know, where are you from, and put them in a church wherever they're at, praise God. So they've been documented with decisions cards. And he's actually in America. God told him to come to America. He's in America right now, going to different, he's in major cities right now. I think he's been to Miami and Chicago and different areas, and maybe Houston. But he's having big crusades here inside of Coliseums. And I think God's wanting to do something with America, praise God. All right. Look over at Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, please. Verse 1, this is Amplified. Why I'm here to build your faith and to remind you of God's promises and what his blessings are. That's, God put it in my heart to just remind you of his word, praise God. Verse 1. If you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, be watchful to do all his commandments. Love God, love people, be quick to repent, stay out of strife. Which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. I like that. I like to be overtaken. I like them suddenlies. If you heed to the voice of the Lord your God, blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your beast, the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your livestock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. I believe that's kind of like your bank account, checking account. Bless when you come in and bless when you go out. Man, you're just a blessing everywhere. The Lord shall, did I miss one there? Bless when you come in, bless when you, no, I was right. Thank you, Jesus. He helped me on that one. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way and flee before you seven. If you stand in that joy, you stand in that faith, you stand in that promise, you stand and you don't give up and you don't quit and you don't lie down, your enemy shall be defeated. He's going to flee seven ways right in front of you. You're going to watch him take off and you're going to have the victory. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you and your storehouse and all that you undertake, and will bless you in the land which the Lord God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as to has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name, his name, and in the presence of the Lord, they shall be afraid of you. The Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity through the fruit of your body, the livestock, and of your ground, and the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them. The Lord shall open to you his good treasury, the heaven to give the rain and the land in your season. Bless all the works of your hands, and you shall lend to many nations, but shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and you shall be, and if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, to be watchful to do them. And you shall not turn aside to any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or left, to go after other gods to serve them. That's the commandment of the God of God. That's his blessing. He's spoken that over us. That's who we are. We're blessed everywhere we go. It don't matter what the Supreme Court justices have decided or said. You know, they don't have the authority that here. Us believers have the authority here on the earth. If we continue to do what's right, we're going to continue to be blessed, praise God. We continue to heed God's to his commandments and act on them and do them. We're going to be blessed, praise God. So you don't have to worry about what the world's doing. That's the world system. We're not in the world system. You should not be in the world system. You need to be in this system. And this is a totally different system. The world system is the borrower is servant to the lender. Our system is given. It should be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It should mean given to your bosom. Same measure you meet with all, it should be measured to you again. And that's just part of it. You know, that totally different system. And that boggles the mind of the worldly man. He does not understand that. You tell me I had to give first in order to receive. That's the way God set it up. That's the way he did with Jesus. Jesus was planted, died, and resurrected. For what? A family. Now he's got millions and millions of us. That one seed. You know, one seed of Jesus Christ. Now there's millions and millions of heirs just like him, praise God. We got the same DNA and the same inside of us and the blood of Christ through us, Lord. I mean, through us to regenerate our body and regenerate our spirit. All right, look at Galatians 3:19. We're going to close with that because we're about out of time. And this is the Amplified. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added later on after the promise to disclose to disclose and expose to men their guilt. So after the promise was made through Abraham, imputed to righteousness, the law came to do this. All right, it went on because of the transgression and to make men more conscious of their sinfulness, of sin. And it was intended to be in effect till the seed, which is Jesus, the seed, the descendant, the heir, should come to and concerning whom the law, the promise has been made. And it, the law, was arranged, ordained, and appointed through the instrumentality of angels, and was given by the hand in the person of a go-between Moses and intermediary person between God and man. So this God's word, the law, was administered by angels. Angels enforced the word of God like the word of God said. You say it, you establish it. When you say the word of God, you're establishing it in your life. When you say in the Word of God, don't worry about what your children are doing. You just keep trusting God. You prayed and you believed for them to be blessed and following after God. You keep confessing the Word of God over your children. You keep establishing it no matter what it looks like. You can't look at the circumstances. You have to look to the Word of God to keep your peace and keep your joy up. See, Satan's trying to get people off the promises and get them onto the problems and rob them of the joy. And when he does, the concern becomes the persons. And they're the ones responsible for making it come to pass, not God. So we keep our thoughts on the Word of God and our words in our mouth to match up with the Word of God through each and every situation of our life. And we see the promise come to pass in our life. If we don't give up and we don't quit and we keep our joy up. Isn't that right? Keep your joy up. All right, let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this Abrahamic covenant. It's a blessing to our life. A blessing to our life. We thank you, Lord, that you spoke this blessing. You spoke this blessing to be the way we could be blessed, Lord, and live a good life here. Lord, we just thank you for it. Now, if there's anybody that's heard this message on the CD or if on voiceofthebelieverschurch.org, when I get it put up there, and say, hey, that's for me. I like that. I need this Jesus. I need this life. And you say, I want to change life. Or maybe you want to rededicate your life. Or let's say you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's, you know, you can pray with me now, because the Word says over in Romans 10:9-10, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and was raised back to the right-hand side of the Father, and you confess him in. See, all faith comes by your tongue. You got to say it. But if you confess him in, that you shall be saved. And the Word says in Luke 11:13, if you ask the Father to fill you up with his Holy Spirit, he'll fill you up with his Holy Spirit. So if that's for you and that's what you want, then just pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, your Word says that I can pray and believe for Jesus to be the Lord of my life, because I believe that he died on the cross and was raised back to the right hand side of the Father. So I ask him, be my Lord and Savior. Show me your will for my life. Let me live my life for you. Fill me up with your Holy Spirit. I thank you for a new life, a life of blessings and joy in you and peace in my life here. And Lord, just let your will be done in my life. And show me what you have for me, their gifts and callings, in Jesus' name. Now, if you've done that, you can get on that voiceofthebelieverschurch.org. You can either search it on Google, or you can go up to the IP address in the top left and search there for voiceofthebelieverschurch.org, and you can get onto the a prayer, and you can send us a testimony through the prayer, or you can get on Voice of the Believers Church on Facebook and like us, and we can accept you there, and then you can leave a testimony there. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. And testimonies of a changed life, praise God. Now, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for everyone here and through all the electronic media. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for that we're blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessing the city, blessing the field. When Satan comes at us one direction, he had to flee from us seven, because he is in us. The Holy Spirit's greater than he that's in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Nothing deadly will hurt us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment shall be condemned. We owe no man anything except to love one another. Our God supplies all our needs according to his rich and glory by Christ Jesus. We give and it shall be given to us. Give us pressed down, shaken together, running over. It shall mean given to our bosom. For the same measure we meet with all shall be measured to us again. Beloved, I pray above all things thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Though 1,000 fall at one side and 10,000 at the right hand, nothing deadly will come near us. No plague or disease will come near our dwelling. With a long life be satisfied. Thank you, Lord, for a long life. Lord, we take every thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down any and all thoughts that exalt itself against Jesus, thoughts of fear, worry, doubt, unbelief, discouragement, heaviness, depression, anything that's trying to get us angry at God or his word. We just say, nope, and rebuke those thoughts and say, you go in Jesus' name. We're going to continue to quote the word of God. Quote the word of God. My God supplies all my needs according to his rich and glory by Christ Jesus. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. We're going to continue to quote your word, Father God. Lord, just give us wisdom, revelation, knowledge of your word. Bring us those people that don't know you, Jesus, that we can pray that prayer of salvation with them. We can tell them the good news, how good you are, how wonderful you are, what you've done for us on the cross and your resurrection. And Lord, that those that do know you but have old traditions or grandma's folklores or all that stuff that robs the power of God, that we can actually, you know, help them, show them the word, all good things come from you, that you are, that you give us, Jesus gives us the abundant life. Satan's the one that kills, steals, and destroys, and that you give us the abundant life. And we thank you, Lord, to be that blessing to other people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Anybody that has any prayers, come on down or come on up.